It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. The year was 1968, and the automotive industry was in a panic mode, looking for a prototype crash dummy that could be used as an average male, large male, and small female. Who did the brilliant minds of American ingenuity turn to?
Yo, police!
Recent historical records have surfaced proving Alexander Graham Bell's first telephone call in 1876 was not his assistant, Mr. Watson, but to...
Yo, police!
Asking him to order Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh from a crash test at Yucca Proving Grounds, your host, Paul Lavoie.
Captain Radio here, inviting you to another episode of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show.
Such a great tribute there to a longtime radio personality here in Lake Havasu City. I'm Paul Lavoie, along with the host of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, Dan DeLisantos.
Hey, Paul.
It's Dan, right?
It is Dan. Not DeLisandro, not Taylor,
Dale.
Not Dale.
All right, cool. I have played soccer with a Dale Taylor. That's funny. All right, welcome to the show, everybody. It's Wednesday, August 2nd, 2023, the first Wednesday of the month. It always creeps up on us, Dan.
It really does, and you know what creeped up on us is it's our 49th show today.
49?
Man, you know, isn't that amazing? You know, we've done good.
Wow.
We're in our fourth year, man. We're really rocking it.
Pretty soon we'll be on the same show as my age and then the same show as your age, which is really scary.
Well,
is it because it's so many more years than mine? Not that many more. But
no. Yeah.
What year did you graduate from Lake Havasu High?
1976. Yep. Oh, we got a caller already.
Yeah, I'm a 1982 graduate.
Yep.
So that's not too far away. So we actually have a call. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
This caller wants to defend himself.
It's Larry.
we had a captain at Bullhead City Fire named Dale DeLisandro, and he also owned a business in town, Horizon Heating and Air Conditioning. He was also a Mojave County supervisor. So every time I hear Dan on the radio, it reminds me of Dale DeLisandro.
That's hilarious. I had no idea.
Well, I'm honored, actually. I'm honored to be reminded of a fireman.
That's pretty funny. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Appreciate that. That explains a lot.
It does, doesn't it?
I just thought he was a train wreck with names.
Oh, yeah, no.
I'm feeling
kind of proud.
There is a real Dale DeLisandro.
All right,
welcome to the show, everybody. I'm going to let Dan tell you who the guests are today, because I think it's going to be, well, they're really close to us.
Yes, they are.
but I need to get this
close
out
to
there.
My heart, really.
First of all, the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show is brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating, along with our other Speak Out sponsors. And speaking of sponsors, we have a ticket giveaway, the Blue Water Resort and Casino. Are you a Journey fan, Dan?
Yes, I am.
So the Ultimate Journey Legacy Concert Ticket Giveaway is right here on Speak Out all week. We've already given away two pair of tickets, and it's DSB, A Tribute to Journey. September 2nd, doors open at 7:15, concert at 8 o'clock, and they've been around since 2009. They're a high-energy stage production. Exceptionally accurate recreations of Journey classics have made DSB the number one Journey Legacy concert experience in the world.
Wow.
In the world. So what we're going to do is take the first caller during the break, and we'll give you a pair of tickets to see DSB, A Tribute to Journey. So be the first caller in our first break or our second break. I don't know. I haven't called it yet. So, and we'll give you two tickets.
We have a caller.
Yes. Caller, you're live on Speak Out. I think he hung up because he was going for the Journey tickets.
Right, right,
the DSB tickets, right.
He's like, oh, I gotta wait.
You gotta wait. You gotta, cause I have, and the reason for that is I have to get personal information like a phone number and an email that I don't want to broadcast
right
over the air. And I don't want my troubles to go to the office phone.
Ooh.
So this is kind of, you know, this is my burden. So,
right.
That's how it works. So what happened with our guest today?
Well, you know what? They're really kind of unique. They're well known in the community. I just want to say, I'm very fortunate to know them. Needless to say, it's actually Paul Lavoie and Dan De Los Santos.
Very good.
Now, a lot of people might go, well, what's going on, guys? And so here's what we're doing. We're going to do about a 2-3 show series, and it is about a very special topic that's dear to my heart. Being from Lake Havasu City, since 1971, actually starting to come here back in 1964,
wow.
Over these decades, I become more and more sensitive to the importance of being back in Lake Havasu City, wanting to live here, wanting to be around the people here. Whenever I wasn't, I was constantly comparing everywhere I was to Lake Havasu City. The people, the community, the lifestyle, everything about Havasu, the DNA, if you will.
Give me an example.
Well, you know, so
what specifically?
I'll give you a really good example. If you have the opportunity to live in Hawaii, which most people think it would be wonderful.
Right.
And I'm part Hawaiian. Great-great-grandmother was a princess. That's wonderful. And I have a couple thousand relatives there. I lived there, and you know what? All I could think about was moving back to Havasu. Because although there is the aloha spirit, there's so much. The people in Havasu, that charisma, that mentality, if you will, of the people that I grew up with here, and actually even people that moved here after that, still remains a very solid source of a draw, if you will. It always beckons you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know people that have literally spent the last couple of years trying to move back home to Lake Havasu City because no matter where they're at across the country, they're missing that thing that we all took for granted. We didn't know any different. We didn't know any better.
No, I get it. There is a magic here, and I didn't experience it until 2007. I should rewind a little bit. I came here when I was about 12 years old. My stepbrother and I used to visit his father for a few weeks in the summer, and we took a trip from Southern California to Lake Havasu, probably like 1974.
Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, I think I was 12 or 13, and I couldn't get up on water skis. That's what I remember about that trip. I eventually was a really, really good water skier, but this was the first lake I tried to ski on. And it was one of those midday things. It was really choppy, and there was no way as a beginner I was going to get up on two skis.
Havasu's like the first girl you kissed. Because when you talk about water skiing, you know, you never forget your first time when you got on water skis at Havasu. It never goes away, and you're telling your kids and your grandkids that story.
The funny thing is I was too young to remember the town, the city, at that age. You know, we mostly spent time in the campground or on the beach or whatever. But I came back later. I stayed at a KOA here, and a friend of mine and I came down on bikes. It was when I first started riding motorcycles in my early 20s. We came down, we had the tent, we had the, you know, all of the stuff to go camping on our bikes. And we stayed at a KOA here. And I really, really liked it here. And then in 07, before that, Roger Galloway had become the news director where I was working down the street at Murphy Broadcasting. And I was required to come down here like every Friday. And I really took a liking to it, you know, even though I had to drive from Mojave Valley to Havasu. Wasn't that bad of a commute, but I had to spend some time in the studio, got to know the people a little bit. And then when Speak Out was offered to me in 07, it was one of those things, okay, it's because I moved here. And I really, really liked it. And it just seemed like as the longer I lived here, the more opportunities, the more doors open, more so than any other community I ever lived in.
And that's part of the DNA we're going to talk about over the course of these shows.
Because, so I got that part right.
Yes, because it's not an easily defined
right.
DNA, if
exactly.
you will. They're, you know, the ingredients in a recipe.
Yeah, and it's like the
second
list
time. Is actually much longer.
And it's like, I'll just finish the story because sure. I had to move away because of the economy pretty much, mm-hmm. and then came back in 2020, and it was March of 2020, the opportunity opened up here at
right.
Radio Central full time. What was March of 2020? Do you remember?
Not offhand.
The pandemic
started.
Oh, the
pandemic, yes.
So
I tried to blank that thing out.
So I had to gather up my things and move during the pandemic. I didn't even know if the movers were going to run from Fort Mojave to here.
Uh-huh.
But doors just kept opening up, and I found a place to live when it was difficult to find a place to live. And it's just that's that DNA that was like, you know, you're in the right place because those signs are there and the opportunities open up. And they just keep, you know, they just keep opening up. So it's like, you know, don't fight it, Paul. Stay here. This is where you need to be, is Lake Havasu City. You know, we want to hear, Dan and I talked about, before the show, we want to hear from the listeners, too. What is your connection to Lake Havasu City? How long have you been here? What do you like about Lake Havasu City? We want to know what you like about Havasu. What are the positive aspects that you like about living here?
So I sent the link out to several of our pioneers.
Several? Like 200.
of individuals that are either pioneers or have lived here for over 40 years. And so I'm hoping you'll pop into the link. You'll see the phone number, but we've got it for you right here. It's 928-854-5687. That's 928-854-5687.
Which spells KNTR, by the way.
Oh, it does, yes. Doesn't it? And so if you've got a memory about what was so special about Havasu for you, what makes it a constant in your life, whether maybe you went water skiing, you were part of a club, an organization, sports, going to school, your coworkers, if McCulloch was your thing or another company, we want to kind of hear what that is that makes Havasu so unique and special for you versus any place else you've been.
You know, it's really weird. I didn't get it at first. When I worked down the street, and it was the Tri-State News Network, and I was a reporter in Bullhead. I covered Bullhead City, Laughlin, all the way down to Needles in Mojave Valley. A big beat, you know, and Roger had Havasu, and it was always, the biggest stories were always here. And I thought, wow, why am I here? The sun rises and sets out of Havasu, right?
Sure.
And I always joke with him about it.
Right.
And, and it's just the way it happened was the biggest stories come from here because it's the biggest city in the county.
Correct.
When you think about it, there was even a move to bring the county seat to Havasu at one time.
Now that's interesting.
Yeah. So, we won't get into that though.
Right. So, you know, what's kind of interesting is, you know, back in the 60s when my family would go camping, we would go all over. We'd be up in the High Sierras, Rocky Mountains, you name it. We were all over. Then we were in Lake Havasu and Elsinore. When we finally made the move to Lake Havasu City in 1971, we quit going anywhere.
Really?
We didn't travel. I mean, it was a dead stop. We never got in that car again and traveled. And honestly, I didn't quite get it till later on, but everything we wanted was right here.
But wasn't it hard to get in and out of here, too?
You know, it wasn't too bad in 71. We actually had our roads completed. We were able to get in and out of Parker and from I-40. If we wanted cool air or snow, we could go to the Wallapais less than 45 minutes. Vegas was very close. So all the immediate amenities were right there for us. And, you know, when all the friends would come and they'd go camping and they got to pack all their gear up, And they had to do that 7-hour drive back
right.
to L.A. We said, well, we'll see you guys later. And we'd get in our boat, go back home, and take a shower, and watch TV.
Right. You ready to take a break?
Yeah, we'll take a break.
All right. Again, we've got the Blue Water Resort and Casino Ultimate Journey Legacy Concert Ticket Giveaway all week right here on Speak Out. Of course, you're listening to the Havasu Pioneers radio show. And I thought the phone was going to ring. It looked like it just kind of blinked because the display is on. There it is. Somebody's already calling in. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to see DSB, A Tribute to Journey, on September 2nd. And we got the phone ringing right now. Again, doors open 7:15, concert at 8 o'clock. VIP seating, $25. General admission, just $20. And go to BlueWaterFun.com to purchase tickets or at the gift shop. You must be 21 or older to attend. All right, back with more in a moment. A little Fleetwood Mac. You Make Love and Fun, right out of that era, the 70s, right?
You gotta love it.
Yeah, back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. Back on Speak Out. It's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. And Speak Out, brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, GDK LLC, Springberg Wealth Management, Patio Paradise, Sun Power by Esme Electric, SamsGuns.com, and by The Chair, with Havasu style dining and great entertainment with live music and a flip-flop atmosphere overlooking the London Bridge. Dallas and Danny present The Chair, and we stream live in our show archives at KNTRTalk.com. If you want to find our episodes of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, go to KNTRTalk.com. It's right there, even on your phone. Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Take you to a page with 48 episodes, soon to be 49 on there. And let's see, what else do we have? Oh, Diamondbacks baseball, again, tonight at 6 p.m. in San Francisco. Boy, I don't know if anyone got a load of those uniforms the Giants had on last night, but apparently they wear them at home games on a Tuesday, and they look like a road construction crew. It was with, they were white with this really weird orange, a strange pale orange hat. I'd never seen anything like it.
Okay, that's just scary.
Yeah, it was. It's uglier than the Diamondbacks' old grays that look like they were wet. So anyway, and then the D-backs and Giants play tomorrow with the pregame at noon, and then the beginning of NFL football on KNTR Sports. It's the New York Jets and the Cleveland Browns in the Hall of Fame game, the pregame, at 4:30 tomorrow, thanks to Westwood One. And we'll be carrying a whole slew of football like we do every year, college and pro, on 94.3, 100.5, 980 AM. KNTR Sports, welcome to the team. And that schedule for this week is already up at KNTRSports.com. Couple blood drives going on. Do you want me to announce these?
Sure.
You got everything squared away?
I'm done, yeah.
Okay. A couple of blood drives going on. There's an emergency shortage right now. So it's Friday and Saturday. Fridays is at the Knights of Columbus at 11 a.m. And then the Saturday drive starts at 8 a.m. at the Marine Corps League in Lake Havasu City, the Marine Corps League Auxiliary. I think that's the last place I donated blood, in fact. Long time ago, when it was still United Blood Services. So, boy, Dan's getting texts and all kinds of messages over there. But we got a request via text to talk about the multi-year class reunion. I believe, what year does that cover, the multi-year class reunion?
The multi-class reunion covers from 1975 through 1990.
Ah, okay. I would have been one of those people had I gone to school down here. I was class of 82.
So, yeah, it's a really amazing event that they're putting together. You know, the gals that are on the board to bring this together at the rodeo grounds is just amazing. The layout, the planning that they have in mind for this particular multi-class reunion, which, by the way, is the largest we've ever had in our community.
Really?
It's going to be a monster, and it's going to be fun. A lot of people, a few hundred people, have already registered to come to this thing. So if you are local and you have not registered, remember all those people coming hundreds, if not thousands of miles to participate with you at your class reunion. You want to make sure that you register so that they have you to tell old war stories with.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. There's going to be, how many people do you know?
I think they're in and around 300 people. I know they're expecting probably anywhere from 400 to 700 people. It just depends.
Holy moly.
It could be a monster.
Right, right.
So back to our topic about Lake Havasu City and the DNA of our community mentality. It is fascinating. I mean, honestly, if we had the recipe, we could make a town just, you know, it would be like the Goldilocks story, if you will, being able to have the perfect opportunity to have a community. So one of the things, the topics that I wanted to touch on was the 50 years of friendship.
Yeah, man. I just saw that.
Man, that's just,
How many people fall into that category for you?
You know, everybody pretty much I grew up with. I stay in touch with everybody I knew back then. Anybody that,
How do you go to
the store? It's such a broad range.
How do you go? I used to live in Laughlin when it was a very small, tight-knit community like that.
Right.
You couldn't go to the store. Everybody saw you on TV. Hey, everybody had to shake your hand, so you had to go, you know, do the whole hat and sunglasses thing, walk through real fast so nobody would recognize you. I know people that do that, too. Was it like that here, or is it like that here still?
So, you know, when we talk about the first 10 years, the makeup of Havasu, literally the infancy, if you will, we were all thrown in, as many folks already know, that we were a hodgepodge, if you will, of the country's different ethnic groups, if you will, because we were coming from back east, we were coming from the Midwest, we were coming from the West Coast, and we were everything from surfers to, rock and rollers. It was just fascinating, the different cultures that the kids, had when we were all thrown together. So here's the parents, they've got work, they're pretty much already getting along with each other. But the kids had a whole new structure they had to create. So that was really, I think, the real beginning of it all. I think about, good friends like Teddy Kilpatrick and the Joneses, and I think about the Lex Lamonts and my brother Raleigh and all these people, the different makeups. We had people that were living out in the McAfee Guthrie Trailer Park. We had people that were living in town on Cliff Rose. We had the folks that were growing up in the Highlands, and we also had folks that were living all the way out in the Heights, and which meant that the structure was different, even right. in our own community, about where you live. So when you got together, you know, there was only one party, and it was usually down at Mud Shark Beach with a big bonfire, or it was at somebody's house. You didn't see, like, a whole bunch of parties too often. It was very rare. And there wasn't enough kids to make that up. So right. We battled it out. We actually got in a lot of arguments. There was a lot of cultural conflict that was going on there. Hmm. And I'd say it took a good couple of years before that really started to mellow out a little bit. And I think there was a camaraderie that just naturally grew out of that.
Yeah, because now you appreciate it more.
Oh, my Lord.
Like, what were we fighting about?
Right. Well, and it really developed fairly quickly, I want to say, after that. I felt very close to a lot of people on both sides of the house, if you will. And it was something that became part of the DNA for myself and other people. We were genuine people. We go to other communities and wonder why people weren't taking care of each other, why they weren't offering. What do you need help? I'll come. Sure. What do you need?
Right.
And when we went to different places, when we moved, the things that were very common to us that we would, hey, 2 o'clock in the morning, your buddy's busted down out on the highway. You're going, okay, I'll be right there. You weren't saying, well, I don't know, or, you know, call somebody else.
Yeah.
If you were called upon, honestly, 9 times out of 10, you were going to show up. That includes, by the way, putting your boat in the water and going out and getting the guy. And this, of course, we didn't have cell phones, so the guy'd have to get a ride back to the dock to dial the phone and call you.
Right.
So yeah,
it's like I can imagine, and I wanted to hear from the listeners too. 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. I imagine there was a big camaraderie going on with the big flood. What year was that?
Oh man, you know, I want somebody to call in and remind me on that one, because I want to say it was around 73, 74,
yeah.
Right in there.
I think it was the same year that Caesar's Palace flooded and all that.
The McCulloch plant.
That was the big flood too that we called it. Yeah.
Yeah, the McCulloch plant got hit really hard. McCulloch Boulevard was carved out, with a huge, right by Jersey's, or excuse me, not Jersey, what's the name of the bar? They're right at the bottom of the dip.
You might be getting a text telling you.
It was a monster. It was a huge dip. 1973. Thank you, Joe Cooperrider.
Very good.
I appreciate that, my friend.
We'll take that. We'll take that in lieu of a phone call.
Yep.
Any day.
And so the flood was literally where we were walking. There, you couldn't drive your car.
Wow.
Smoke Tree wasn't damaged. It was no longer there.
Yeah, it's the same.
The street was gone.
It's the same year that Nelson's Landing had the big flood too.
Really?
I'm almost positive. Yeah, it's that same year that the town of, you know where Nelson's Landing is? It's just north of Searchlight. It's halfway, you know, as you're coming out of Vegas down the dry lake bed and that, there's a turnoff. That goes to Nelson.
Okay, I know where you're
There's no
about.
Town there anymore. It was washed into the river.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it probably got washed away.
It was washed into Lake Mojave or that portion of the Colorado River up there where it widens out.
Well, the community came together during that flood and you would see the bars. The guys would be in there with buckets and shovels, shoveling out the mud that had flowed right into Papa Joe's. The community jumped right out and helped everybody. They were amazing.
Wait, Papa Joe's?
Yes, which is where Big John's is.
Oh, okay.
That was our original, one of our highlight, little restaurants and bars that contractors would go to after work, construction worker.
Big John's Steak and Pub?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't
know. It was actually originally Papa Joe's.
Oh, I didn't even. Okay.
Yep.
All right. I got you.
And so we had a lot of a few places like that in town. And, you know, we ran across some very difficult times. You know, people, we talk about, and we'll talk about Havasu today and in a later date here in our show. But people clamor about, well, I wish it was the way it was back in the day. And, you know, there's certainly aspects of Lake Havasu that were fond memories for us.
I wish
because
a lot
it was
of
a very simple lifestyle.
Yeah, I wish a lot of towns were like they were back in the day.
The challenging part is, as kids, what we didn't realize is how difficult it was on our parents because the economy was not even close to being stable. We were in a financial swing, if you will, almost into poverty on several occasions where we had upswings and downswings. Mm-hmm. And the parents were literally bartering between families and businesses. If there was an air conditioning guy, he was bartering with the plumber if he had a problem.
Wow.
And there was no cash exchange.
Right.
Other than maybe parts. And that's the way it went on in Havasu, not for years, but for decades. Because that stability had not really become corrected, if you will, till we got out of the 90s. I mean, that's about the time we started seeing some structure that said we weren't going to lose it.
You reminded me a couple of seconds ago, and we need to take a break, about how good the restaurants are in Havasu. And I'm curious as to why. Everyone always talks about, when I'm in any part of the tri-state area, oh, I love Havasu. We love to go down there to eat. And I'll, you know, ask them what restaurant. And it's always a different one because there's a variety of so many here in town. And I'm curious as to why. Is there a reason for that?
We
can talk about that when we come
back. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Okay. Back with more in a moment. Again, we still have those tickets to DSB, A Tribute to Journey. Boy, that got the phone going really quick. It's September 2nd. Doors open at 7:15. Show at 8. VIP seating, $25. General admission, $20. And again, go to bluewaterfund.com or the gift shop for tickets. And you must be 21 or older to attend. Back with more on Speak Out. It's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show with host Dan DeLosantos. I'm Paul Lavoie. Brought to you, of course, by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wonderful life is while you're in the world.
hard to bring down music when your host is talking to you. You have to go back on the air. Anyway, welcome back. It's the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. You know, we had a caller for tickets, and it had a little issue with the phone. I couldn't get to the call. And call me during the next break. 928-854-5687. 928-854-KNTR. The caller has been so patient. And anyway, yeah, give us a call, and we'll get you those tickets to DSB, a tribute to Journey. All right, Speak Out, brought to you in part by, I have so many papers here, Arizona Financial Credit Union, also Mojave Community College, the Lewis Team, Remax by the Lake with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis, also Dorita's Place, providing Havasu with all-natural dog and cat food along with pet toys since 2006, and featuring those self-service doggy washes. And by Salmon's Air Conditioning, serving the tri-state area for over 52 years. Ask about Salmon's Superior Maintenance Plan. Don't forget to shop local, spend local, eat local, and play local, because small business is kind of a big deal. And, of course, the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show brought to you by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. I think we're going to have a caller here pretty quick. And we do have a caller. Already. That was quick, Dan. I don't know what you did off the air, but you're a magic man. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hey, guys. Rich Theophilus.
Hey, Rich. How are you, sir?
I'm good. God, if I was any better, I'd be named Dan. And
yeah, if I was any better, I'd be named Dale.
Dale. Right, right. But, you know, you guys were talking about the quality of the restaurants here. And back in the day, because I moved here in 72, bad news travels fast. And if you didn't open up someplace that was going to give you service and value, you weren't going to survive here. So that, I think that might have set a standard.
Huh.
Because we have all seen them come and go. But boy, I remember, you know, in the 70s, there was a few of a nucleus of restaurants, and you could depend on each one of them to have a quality of their own. So,
boy, you are so right.
Is he dead on?
Dead on, you know, I mean, you can name them on your hand. I mean, there was Laura's Italian Desert Restaurant and the Old Ranger's Waterhole or Crazy Ed's we had.
Yep.
Papa Joe's was a favorite because it was your burger joint the contractors could count on. The place was always packed. You had the Frigate Lounge, which was also very popular.
Yeah. And the Captain's Table.
And the Captain's Table. Let's not forget about that. Let's not forget about the London Arms underneath the London Bridge, the pub.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my Lord. That food was phenomenal. If you could afford it back in the day, that's where you ate.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So, and, you know, for some of us locals, you know, you needed something affordable. The Poorhouse was always a solution on Taco Wednesdays. And we did have a French restaurant. Now, that's probably the thing that I always, Henri's. You know, my brother worked there, Rob Jewett. You know, it was in one of the locations at one point was in the bowling alley.
It was the bowling alley,
The place had chandeliers and white tablecloths, and, you know, you could probably hear the pins going down. And but the food. Henri, I believe, you know, he was working in Las Vegas just till recently. As far as I know, the man was still cooking.
My understanding is he left here originally and became the executive chef at the Riverside up in Laughlin.
Mm-hmm.
And then, he went to, I want to say, for like Caesars Corporation or something like that.
Yeah, I think he ended up in Vegas.
But they had great food, amazing. There again, when I can remember, you know, what do you spend today? You can spend $50 for a good steak. Once a month on Wednesdays, they had like a 7-course meal that had wine between each of the meals and had the really nice French food, and it was $35 a couple.
And that was a big deal when you think about these construction workers, you know, their day was over early in the day. They're asleep early. Their day starts at, you know, 3 in the morning. And, you know, when they come home, the wife isn't getting to go out to the dinner, so those special moments like you're talking about were critical.
Yeah.
If you wanted to stay married.
The Poorhouse was where you went after hours.
Yep.
So, Listen, I'll let you guys go. I was thinking about that. Why? And it's still to that degree.
You know,
bad news travels fast in a small town. So
I have a friend, Rich, who drives down here. I mean, I know this isn't a food item, but just for the tie-dye margaritas at Javelina Cantina. Yeah, like 3 hours, like 3 hours for, yeah, a tie-dye margarita or two or three. So there you go.
Saying then it's an even longer drive going home, so you better get a hotel.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, and I want to expand on what you're saying, Rich, just before you leave us, because that attitude still remains with us today. If you look at the restaurants that are in town, they have been here, they're stable, they're not going anywhere.
No, right.
They are not empty. We've got some wonderful establishments.
Look at the chair.
Oh, my gosh. You know, we've got, and we've got Burgers by the Bridge.
Yeah.
Got to give Harriet a big shout out.
Right.
Because she's
amazing.
She is amazing.
And now she also
contributes so much to the community.
Oh, she does.
And now they opened up that mac and cheese place.
Yes, right next to it, right.
Have you tried that yet?
I have not.
I have not either.
I've heard it was great. And, you know, we've got things like College Street Brewery and Mud Sharks. Those guys are big contributors to our community. We just have some, and of course, got to talk about Tim Chigrou. And the guys, you know, the staff, you know, Tom Felke's great. And of course, you know, we've got Chabones.
The fabulous Felke.
Right?
That's his
nickname
here.
Yeah, really. Well, I remember when Chigrou's first opened, the rumor around town was that they had a dress code and you had to wear a shirt with a collar. And that was the whole dress code. You could have worn, you know, cut off some flip-flops, but they said you had to have a shirt with a collar. I don't know how long that lasted, but it was kind of intimidating to me to go to a restaurant where you had to wear a shirt with a collar. That was like going to Hollywood or something.
That's funny.
Well, yeah, I had to find the one shirt that had a collar I had back in the day. And, you know, now we have the Foundry that's just opening its doors.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So I want to give those guys a great community shout-out. Congratulations on opening your doors. Thank you for bringing your expertise to our community. You know, it is a little upscale, so don't panic over the price, folks, because when people go out of town to go find that really amazing meal, this place is giving us that option. So there's a little something here for everybody, no matter what your budget is in town.
Speaking of which, I've had on occasion, not like every night or anything, but special dinners, like is it La Vida Dolce?
Yes.
Is that and that's another
one. Oh, my God.
Been there forever,
another
right?
Great,
yeah.
And let's not forget about Angelina's.
Right, and the restaurants over on the south side, too.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Rich, what a great call.
Okay, so we've got a caller calling in here in a minute. Thank you very much, Rich.
Yep. Great choice. And you got all that stuff over there on the south side, too. So.
I know. Yeah, we left a few of them out, but we'll talk about them during the next time we do
can't,
the show.
There's too many. That's kind of why I wanted to bring it up. But who were some of the people, Dan, and this is more in your wheelhouse, the people that helped form our community into what it is today? We're talking about the McCulloughs, the Robert McCulloch, Dub Campbell, Jay Scavuzzo, those people.
So that's kind of interesting. When we talk about the makeup of how we got to where we're at, obviously we had some guiding forces to get there. And, you know, there were some people that kind of stood out in the community as some guiding forces, if you will. And if I don't mention everybody, do not hesitate to call in and mention that special person.
Yeah, right.
And what you think they did to help our community get to where it's at. So, you know, we'll start off, obviously, with the most obvious, which is R.P. McCulloch, Robert P. McCulloch. And we've got, of course, C.V. Wood, you know, the instrumental of the makings of our town, or bringing our bridge to us. I think about Dub Campbell because we wouldn't have the buildings without the concrete that they sit on. And so a big shout out to the Campbell family, you know, and our realtors, you know, are really, we have some that stood out in our community. And I have to bring up Jay Scavuzzo, and Edie McDougall, because they just resonated anywhere you went, you heard their name, or they were doing something that, really obviously promoted their business, but supported the community, if you will. And then there's, you know, people like Jim Sterling and, you know, God bless us all, you know, Reverend Richard Tatum. Was instrumental.
He's been on this show.
Oh, yeah, he's been on our show and, you know, certainly kept God in our homes. You know, the only thing we have equal amounts of from bars is churches, so we have plenty of those as well. And we have, and I like to think that Bob and Billy Campbell played a role with Campbell Boats. I had the pleasure of working for them, and I think that that signature boat, if you will, that was made here in Lake Havasu City, brought a lot of people to the community. As a matter of fact, when you went underneath the London Bridge, or if you were inside the front two rows of the marina, it was lined with nothing but Campbell boats. Everything from the 20 footers to up to the 28 and the 32s. I mean, it was the high dollar boat of the United States. It was amazing. So I think, you know, when we talk about the people and then we talk about the organizations, clubs, you know, what did you do when you were in Lake Havasu City? I'd like to hear that from some of our listeners. And
you know, there's another topic here that you brought to the table that I think is really interesting, but our business community remains competitive in the local market, but they play well with each other behind the scenes, it always seems like. Do you notice that?
I really, knowing the behind the scenes scenario, if you will, growing up here, you always felt the competitiveness between the businesses, if there was even more than one or two, but that did the same thing. But in fact, they were sitting at the bar next to each other, laughing, telling jokes, and having cocktails, when the day was done.
I got you.
And they were also supporting each other to stay alive. Without competitors, sometimes your business doesn't thrive as well.
Right.
So we were keeping each other's businesses open for a long time. So we're coming down to the final minutes of our show. Want to remind everybody that we have that class reunion coming up on September 22nd and 23rd at the rodeo grounds and out at Sarah Park.
Also tell those people who might be listening to us for the first time how they can sign up on the Facebook page and get the updates. No?
I don't have that right in front of me. That's okay. Why I was counting on Gina.
No, not for the reunion.
Oh,
just
what?
For the updates for the Havasu Pioneers radio show.
Oh, yeah. You can always contact us and see us.
We have our own community.
That's right. We have Havasu Pioneers Facebook page that you'll find on Facebook.
Right.
You simply need to answer a couple of questions, and we'll let you in. If you've been a resident or are currently a resident of Lake Havasu City, you have an automatic opportunity to be a member. And we have a caller calling in.
All right, let's do that. Caller, you're live on Speak Out.
Hi, how are you?
Good,
hey,
how are you?
That sounds like Jeannie.
I'm sorry?
Hello, how are you?
I am fabulous. How are you, sir?
Doing great. So you've got some information for us today.
We have about 2 minutes at the most.
Okay, so all you Lake Havasu alumni, check out Facebook, go to Lake Havasu Multi-Year Reunion, get your tickets. We've got a lot going on. Friday night's going to be exciting at Kokomo, September 22nd. A lot of giveaways are coming your way on the 23rd. There is going to be food trucks, sweets table, giveaways, and the best of all, everybody reuniting, sharing memories, and saying hello again.
Right. And where was that location again?
Lake Havasu Multi Reunion on Facebook.
Right. Where is the reunion itself?
Oh, my goodness. Sorry about that. Lake Havasu Rodeo Grounds.
Oh, okay. I think you did say that. So that's the Sarah Park Rodeo Grounds. That's a perfect place for it, actually.
It really is.
Yeah.
Thank you so much
especially
for calling in and sharing that with us.
Well, great. You guys have a great day, and thanks for including us.
You betcha.
Yeah, you bet. All right. We're going to take our last break of the hour, and I know it's a little bit later. I think this is still 70s, but it's the Police. Every little thing she does is magic, and it just seems like Havasu, right? It kind of fits in with the magic mentality here, right?
It does.
All right. We'll be back with more in a moment on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Again, give me a call for those tickets to DSB, A Tribute to Journey. See if we can make that happen for you. 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. Stay with us. right, welcome back to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, the fastest minute in radio. Dan, go.
Okay, hey, listen, September 6th will be our next show next month, and it will be our 50th show, Paul. 50th show, and we're going to probably bring on some of our past guest speakers that we've had over the last 49 shows and see who will come in, chime in, and share a couple words with us about their stories back then.
Who's the football coach?
Coach Nielsen.
No, the other one.
Rooney.
Rooney. Yes. Rooney would be great for 50, wouldn't he?
He would be awesome.
He was a Yuma criminal, by the way. That's where he graduated from. All right, we got Speak Out again tomorrow, 11 to noon, every day, no matter what time of year. And join us then. Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.